what could I have done differently to have achieved a different end result? And okay, now let's do it that way.
My name is Esprit Devorah, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
Hi, I'm Rachel Horning. I am the policy manager at the LA County Business Federation and the co-founder of Startups in the Sky.
And where are you based?
For both, actually, I am based in downtown Los Angeles.
And what exactly is the LA County Business Federation? Like, what does that mean to someone that knows nothing about anything?
Yeah, so the LA County Business Federation, also known as BizFed, works and exists to strengthen the voice of business all over 88 cities of LA County and anywhere that there could be tension between the government and business. We get involved and advocate on behalf of jobs and economic development. So I get to work on specific campaigns, again, just all about strengthening the voice of business in LA County.
Can you give me a use case about that? Like, what's it look like?
Well, relating to tech, actually, last year, Senator Bob Hertzberg authored a bill that would ensure accessibility and transparency of all pending legislation. It had to be posted online 72 hours before a vote, and we got behind it, and eventually it passed. So that's
exciting.
Women in tech, you know, in action. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, that's one use case.
And you said you're also the co-founder of Startups in the Sky. What's Startups in the Sky?
So Startups in the Sky is all about elevating the downtown Los Angeles tech ecosystem, and we are building a stronger pipeline between the Silicon Beach tech community and the downtown LA tech ecosystem through events and, yeah.
And a lot of people get confused about Silicon Beach and Los Angeles, like, does it mean the West Side? Does it mean the East Side? Is it Pasadena? Is it Silver Lake? And really, it means a lot of things to a lot of different people. But Silicon Beach, I think the majority of people just assume it literally means the beach. And that's why there's still this kind of mixture of verbiage between downtown LA and the West Side, because we're not really sure, like, what to call the city as a whole. That everybody unanimously agrees on.
And, you know, I think that it really comes down to what the real estate agents are calling the regions.
They really dictated the
names for
when
everything.
When Playa Del Rey with all those billboards, like, we are Silicon Beach. I'm like, oh, yeah, you're just claiming it now? You've just decided with your billboards?
They decided, and now, you know, property value is going to go way up. So.
Oh, my gosh. It's incredible what the tech community can do.
It is.
What does your company mean to you? And I know we're talking about two different organizations, but what does it mean to you to be involved in tech and in business? Like, why is that important to you?
You know, for me, I see it as answering my calling, and to address what my calling is, I'll throw in some Hebrew. Is tikkun olam, and that means heal the world. You know, I was raised with parents that always acknowledged how important it was to give back. And so I have woven that purpose and way of life into everything I've ever done. So whether it's advocating on behalf of jobs over at the LA County Business Federation, or being a connector in the tech space and making sure that people have access to opportunities and resources, I really do view it as my job to leave the world in a better place than it was, you know, how I found it. So
that's awesome.
That's really my guiding light.
How did you know that that was your calling?
That's a great question. Gosh, thanks, Esprit. I think it's the kind of thing that I just don't even question, to be honest. It's just so ingrained in me. I think that it's how I have felt my entire life.
Oh, that's nice.
It's important to step up to the plate and make things happen, because if you don't, who will?
I mean, I've known that I would be an entrepreneur since I was like 4 or 5 years old.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like people ask, what made you become one? I'm like, no, I was just born one.
I feel the same exact way. It's in your blood.
Yeah, totally. Well, and when did you start Startups in the Sky?
So we started in May of 2015 as a company, although we started the grandfather version. So we started Startups by the Pool, I think at the very beginning, like January of 2014. So this has been one of our labors of love, I guess you could say, since early 2014.
Now, do you still do Startups by the Pool?
No, but we have thought about, you know, reviving it. Yeah, yeah, we need a pool. So if anybody has a pool and they want a lot of techies to go see their pool, let us know.
When did you become interested in tech?
I became interested in tech while I was a student in college. I would say that's when I really became interested in tech specifically, namely civic tech. I think because I'm really obsessed with public policy, I'm always interested in getting involved in whatever like open data, civic technology opportunities exist around me. And, you know, it has that kind of like altruistic feel to it. So that happened, I guess, like 7 or 8 years ago.
What in college exposed you to the tech world?
So I was actually a student body senator, and I was the chair of the finance committee. So I was always in meetings once a week, getting hit up for money from our contingency fund. It was rare that I would even go to one of the events that we were funding. However, there was an exception. Code for America came to our school because one of the students was involved, and they were putting on a hackathon. This was back in 2011. Yeah, this 2011. And they were going to be doing a hackathon in Oakland. And I was just like, what the heck is a hackathon? Are you guys like bad guys? What's going on? So I actually went.
I know, because usually forever hackers was a bad term.
It was so bad.
Yeah, it meant people stealing and everything. Now it's like the cool thing to be.
Oh, these guys came to our meeting. They were in like their cool like hipster pants, and they just seemed cooler than too cool for school. So anyway, I went, I learned all about what they were doing, Code for America. That's really what opened my eyes to the world of tech and all of the different innovations that we were going to be seeing, especially in government over the next few years.
That's cool. How did you go about, we were talking about your calling earlier, how did you go about taking action to develop your calling?
It's the kind of thing where you just contemplate and then tell yourself, yeah, I could fail, but not doing anything is worse than fearing failure. So I started, this was back in the day when I was actually the communications director at the LAX Coastal Chamber of Commerce. And I knew that we needed to get in front of a whole new audience. And I was terrified to reach out to all of these cool tech meetup organizers. I thought they were just like way smarter and cooler and whatever than me, but I did anyway. But I got over that fear. I wrote a couple of like LinkedIn messages to people, and they were so nice and very welcoming. And next thing I knew, I was collaborating on events with them. And you know, sometimes you just have to do it and stop overanalyzing.
100%. Have you had a mentor in getting where you are today?
Yes, so many. However, for the purposes of this conversation, I would say that mentor has been an amazing human being, and I'm just smiling thinking about him. His name is Joe Devin.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God.
Who does not smile thinking of Joe Devin? He's like the kindest, most loving, supportive, sincere, incredible, amazing.
Yeah. You're taking the words right out of my mouth. So yeah. Joe Devin actually was one of the very first people to respond to my LinkedIn request when I was, you know, just trying to discover who the heck is involved in tech event production and just like tech itself. He runs his own digital agency. They're called Diamond. They're based in Venice. And he agreed to meet with me. We had coffee, and he just basically said, I've been waiting to meet someone like you, someone that was working sort of at the crux between government and business. and tech. And here I was, you know, asking for help. And he totally answered my call, and he has stayed by my side ever since. And he runs LA Tech Talks. So, you know, he himself is a great networker, but he also manages a lot of different meetup groups for actual web developers.
Doesn't he run the PHP?
Yeah.
And we'll include more about Joe Devin in the show notes as well. You don't happen to know Joe's Twitter off the top of your head, do you?
It's at Joe Devin, J-O-E, D as in dog, E, V as in Victor, O-N.
Awesome. So you guys reach out to Joe. He's such a fabulous person.
He's great.
How do you overcome challenges?
I overcome challenges by talking to people that I know have my best interest at heart. I'm the type of person that likes to talk things through before I act. And I try really hard to get a few different opinions and then I make big moves. That's usually how I do it. Sometimes I'm just feeling very aggressive and I just go for things. That's certainly not uncharacteristic of me, but I'm a collaborator. So I think that definitely like comes into play when I'm trying to figure out how to create the best strategy to execute something on a pretty massive scale.
And you're definitely a solution-based person.
Very much so. I don't want to talk about problems. And if you're going to come to me with problems, I hope you're also coming to me with solutions.
I mean, I walked into the studio with a challenge about something, and she's like, have you tried this way? And I'm like, that's a great idea. And we actually did, we executed on the solution before we started recording. It was fantastic, and it's already solved like hours of my life from having a problem later on. It was great. It was amazing.
And I think our listeners are going to be very curious what the heck you're talking about, Esprit.
Yeah. They can't. Matt, too. No, he's probably working on it. Like, yeah, I know what they're talking about. I've had to, like, click on edit and, like, color correct because of her. Was there ever a point in your life where you were on a track and you recognized, whoa, this is not the direction I wanted to be going in?
Oh, my God. So many times.
You're like, and 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, that's definitely still on my mind. You know, I definitely thought for a long time that my calling was either going to be working at a pretty hardcore, progressive nonprofit. I actually applied for a job at PETA. I was going to be one of those women that was like painting her body in fake blood. I mean, I was like really hardcore after college. But then I think, you know, after a series of events, I think I realized that my calling was, you know, definitely I wanted to be as impactful, but maybe a little bit more caressed, in how I got there. And oftentimes now I'm realizing that you can actually get a lot more done when you have a seat at the table. And in order to achieve that seat at the table, you have to take things pretty seriously and, bring new ideas and a lot of value to everything that you're suggesting or executing. So yeah, I'm constantly thinking about ways that I should be on a different path, or maybe I'm not on the right path, but at the end of the day, I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be because that's exactly where I am. So
amen.
Yeah.
And, those life experiences, as you're exploring the different phases of your life and the different directions that you should go in, how have those exploratory phases aided in your success today?
I would say that you learn to appreciate a lot more when you have that kind of like diversity and experience. So for every failure that I've ever experienced in my life, I don't look at it like it was a waste of time. I'm looking at things like, okay, that didn't work out. What could I have done differently to have achieved a different end result? And okay, now let's do it that way. So I'm always looking at things as opportunities or as learning experiences. And I think that that's really the healthiest approach to iterating your life and achieving, you know, the maximum that you can achieve as a person.
100%. What's the best lesson you've learned about yourself in pursuing your dream?
Oh, that's easy. You know, it's to say no to certain
oh,
things.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
And it's like, I could also say, well, no, it's to say yes, but...
Yeah, I know. It's so frustrating. We hear both.
You hear both. I think in my case, and I think I hear this from a lot of my girlfriends, actually, is we tend to say yes to a lot because... You know, we view ourselves as powerful women. We want to get a lot done. We have a lot to prove to the world. But at the same time, you're only going to achieve meaningful success if you're also taking care of yourself and if you're also prioritizing things.
Yeah.
So, that's definitely...
I agree.
The most meaningful takeaway that I've had in my life recently.
And which woman in tech really inspires you?
This is so cheesy. I'm going to go with Esprit Devora.
Shut up.
I'm Are not even joking.
Are you serious right now?
I'm so serious. I'm throwing this right back in your face.
Oh, my gosh.
So I will go with you.
Thank you. You're not even kidding.
I'm not even kidding.
Thank you.
So I've been in the tech space for, what, like 4 years now, I think. And ever since I entered the space, Esprit has, like, been there. She's so... seemingly fearless in her approach to just getting a lot done. That's her tagline, the girl that gets things done.
Yeah.
And she's been a huge part of the cultivation and the nurturing and the development of the tech space in LA. And, you know, whether it's the We Are LA Tech Experience Club or it's the calendar or the app or the Facebook group or these like chat rooms, you know, there's so many things that she has spearheaded. And as someone myself who's, you know, creating events and experiences for people, you, Esprit, as I look at you.
I know, I'm like totally blushing and embarrassed right
if now. If only this was like being filmed.
I know.
You are, you know, at the crux of so much of, you know, the success for the community. So.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
That's crazy.
Oh my God.
Like out of all the people in the world, you choose me. That's like great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
I mean it.
I know you mean it. I'm tripping out now. I can't finish the interview because I'm like,
I'm trying not to like breathe too hard or like laugh into this mic.
But no, you don't have to worry because we have the pop filter.
Pop.
Thank you. That's really cool. And it's funny, she uses the word and she said seemingly fearless because she knows me and
I do.
Sometimes I'm like, a lot of times I'm like freaked out and I don't know how to I'm going to make it the next day. And it's tough. It's like really tough being an entrepreneur. But how Rachel and I both shared, like it's just our calling. It's not like...
It's not a choice.
I've tried, actually. I tried to force myself not to be an entrepreneur. I was like, I think my mom would feel a lot more peace if I just, like, was a normal person. And, like, I just, like, wanted what, you know, just a 9-to-5 job or something. Like, I'm going to force myself to do that. And the weirdest thing happened. Like, I had this really cool job. I shouldn't have felt... I was totally grateful for the job, but I didn't understand why I didn't feel anything other than happy. But randomly throughout the year, I would just like start crying in my car and I didn't know why I was crying. I was like, and I would be like, why am I crying? Body, stop crying. Like makes no sense. Nothing's even wrong. And I'd have a ton of these episodes and then I was like, maybe I just need to go for a walk. Like what's wrong with me? Mm-hmm. And then after I had left that opportunity, I recognized it wasn't, even though it was a great opportunity, it wasn't the right opportunity for me because I was destined to be an entrepreneur. Being an entrepreneur is my calling. And doing anything else other than that, my body's not going to be in tune with and feel harmonious because it's not what's meant for me. And yeah, that was super weird. I could still remember all those times like randomly just crying forever being like, what am I hungry? Like what is going on? I had like no thoughts in my head. It wasn't like I was sad about something. It was just like my body was expressing itself.
I can totally relate.
It's trippy. Thank you for the compliment. What's next for you?
Gosh, I actually am pursuing a few different next big moves for myself. None that I can exactly guarantee will happen or can really comment on in great detail. But, you know, one of my goals is to experience the policy world, working in-house for a very innovative company. So that's definitely something on my radar. However, I'm not doing anything too dramatic yet. So more to come.
More about the pathways, the pivotings and the tracks. What book is your favorite?
I think what really like shaped my outlook the most actually is Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I think that when I read Outliers, I started sort of looking at the world in a slightly different way. Like, oh, things aren't necessarily just happening because they're happening. They're happening because there's things going on that are causing these reactions or these things to happen. So that's the first thing that comes to my mind.
What podcast or video series do you recommend?
99% Invisible.
Oh, that's good.
It's a really good.
It's a podcast. I'm sure a lot of you guys know it.
By Roman Mars.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
What resource do you recommend for people to get into the tech space?
You know, there's a lot of different ways that you can get involved if you're new, especially to the tech space, or even if you're not new. As far as actual resources go, the first thing that comes to mind is actually Bixel Exchange. They have a really exciting grant with the SBA that affords them the opportunity.
Small Business Association.
Yes, the SBA is the Small Business Association. This allows them to provide free counsel and mentorship to startup companies. So you have to go through an application process and then you're assigned someone from the Bixel team to basically like walk you through whatever issues you might be having, or just to get you better connected to the ecosystem.
I recommend so many people to Bixel Exchange.
Yeah.
Like whenever someone's like, I'm looking for a mentor, I'm like, Bixel Exchange.
Yeah. It's a great first step.
It's absolutely an amazing resource. Like it's legit free and it's not like scammy free. It's not like there's some back end deal.
Not
like they're just taken care of, so they are able to provide this.
Yeah.
And because most people, I don't know, not to make judgments, it's like a lot of times that things exist, it's, there's some sort of back-end deal, mm-hmm. and there's nothing. There's no catch.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's one way to get involved. And then I'll just plug the event series that I'm running, Startups in the Sky. We have really high-caliber speakers that come to our events, and a really friendly and successful group of community members that join us every month for these events that we're producing. And the atmosphere is just so open. There's nothing quite like it. So I definitely encourage everybody to sign up for some of our future events.
100%.
Yeah.
What's your hobby?
I'm a marathon runner.
Oh my gosh. How do you do that?
I'm actually running the LA Rock and Roll Half Marathon this Sunday.
That's so cool. Congrats.
Thanks. And I ran the LA Marathon earlier this year, and I'm training right now for the 2017 LA Marathon. So that keeps me sane, I would say.
I bet. And healthy.
And healthy.
That's awesome.
And happy and smiling.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Casey Neistat, one of my favorite YouTubers, is a runner.
Nice.
Do you know who that is?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I love Casey Neistat. If you guys haven't watched Casey Neistat, he's one of the most inspirational YouTubers, I swear. How can people stay in touch with you?
So a few different ways. You know, Twitter is the easiest probably to call out. On Twitter, I'm Rachacha920, and that's RachaCha920. Should I just give my email address out?
You can.
Or you can just email me. I'll give my personal email address. That's crazy.
Dope. Every single woman in tech in the world.
You can just email me, women in tech. I love you. It's rachel.m, and that's as in Michael, .horning, H-O-R-N-I-N-G, @gmail.com. And I'd love to hear like what you're up to and if you're going to be in Los Angeles. Let me know.
That's awesome. Yay. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Thank you so much for hanging out with the Women in Tech show.
Yeah.
This
thank
has
you.
Been cool. I mean, this has been like really cool. I mean, this is, yeah. She's like doing a dance.
That was me silently doing a happy dance.
I'm doing it. Like my smile's ridiculously big. It's really, really cool. No, seriously, Rachel, thank you so much for sharing your story and for being a part of the tech community and for being so open and willing with your heart to be supportive of everyone else. Like, you're incredible. And I hope you guys do take her up on her offer to connect. She's a wonderful human being. And if there's anything that makes us all stronger, it's to collaborate together.
Oh, I say to everyone, you have to play nice in the sandbox. And I mean it. When we all build each other up, we're all better for it. So
100%. 100%.
Thank you for having me.
100. Yay. Of course.
This episode of the Women in Tech Show is powered by UpGuard. UpGuard's discovery engine brings visibility to complex IT environments, enabling teams to quickly identify risk, confirm compliance, and make business safer. They are proud supporters and employers of incredible women in tech. To be notified every time a new Women in Tech episode is released, simply text Women in Tech to 310-872-2423. That's 310-872-2423. To support the Women in Tech Show, it's super easy. All you need to do is start doing your Amazon shopping by clicking on this link first, womenintechshow.com/Amazon. That's womenintechshow.com/Amazon. The Women in Tech Show is hosted by Esprit Devora, edited by MKW Films, show notes provided by Carl Marty, music by Jay Huffman Live. The Women in Tech Show is a WeAreTech.fm production.